Charles Gracie and his co-host Paul Gibson. Joined by Josh Haynes, they'll be tackling tough industry topics, asking even tougher questions, all to find better solutions as they try to make sense make sense.
Thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.
Hey, I'm Josh Haynes. Paul, why are you smiling so much there, bro?
The Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Again.
We are the villains now.
Yeah. I mean, all right. I'm happy for you guys. I get it. I lived in Chicago. We had the Blackhawks. But, like, I'm done with the Chiefs. I'm done.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's what was that quote from Mitch Holtis or whatever, the A10 sports broadcaster? You can dislike the Chiefs.
You're gonna butcher it. It's okay. Hey, it's fine, Charles. I know you're down with the Chiefs, and you can be until next year, and then we will see them again in the Super Bowl. It's fine.
They're gonna pillage your team. You won too much. They're gonna pillage your team.
Not really. We've only got three defensive people up for free agency this year, so our defense might take a little hit. But we got some pretty cool wide receiver prospects. I mean, the Bears. What is that guy's name coming up? The Caleb Williams, I think. So you know, maybe you'll get another quarterback that won't work out.
Just because I'm from Chicago, like, they've lost so much. They haven't done anything since '85. The last time they made it to a Super Bowl, they had that one good opening pass. Hester ran it back, and then the rest of the game against the Colts, they got their butt kicked.
So it's not that you're not still a Bears fan. It's just that you're too sad to keep up with them.
Yeah, it's bad for morale.
I get that. That's understandable. You know, and not everybody can be good at everything. Speaking of, what's today's topic?
Today's topic is bad recruiters or recruiters that can lie.
Ooh, yeah. So we posed a question to our audience about that, and it got pretty spicy. So you definitely probably want to hang around for that. But that being said, who is today's sponsor?
Well, speaking of getting it right, we're talking about Mesilla Valley Transportation. You should check them out at drive4mvt.com.
All right. Well, it's time for 10-2 news. All right, so it's time for 10-2 news. The FMCSA wants to allow learner's permit holders to operate without a CDL holder in the passenger seat. So basically, like, once you pass your skills test, like, you can go out on your own. Like, they're talking about, like, completely getting rid of, like, behind-the-wheel training after you have your permit.
Yeah, I mean, man, this is almost more disappointing than the outcome of the Super Bowl. But, I mean, let's look at this here. Being a former driver, going through the skills, the road test, like, let's not forget that there's a road test portion of this. So to let anyone operate a commercial motor vehicle without all of this, if not more layers of training, it baffles me. I feel like we're trying to turn this into the puppy mill that we're trying to say we're avoiding.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've talked about how they're going to strengthen training and stuff like that in the requirements, but at the same time, it still somewhat feels kind of like a step back.
It is, and drivers are, I've had this conversation a couple times, drivers are against this. We're out on the road with these people, our families, our loved ones, other drivers, other professionals, and to sit there and put people on the road that are ill-equipped, it's not only setting them up for failure, but it's setting the industry up, because all we're doing now is going to put another person on there that could become an uninsurable driver that now can't qualify.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, we'll see how that ends up going. So on to more exciting, less sad, but more ridiculous news. There's a video on the internet of police officers in Indiana pulling zebras from a burning trailer on the side of the highway.
I'm just wondering, like, can you imagine being the officer getting this call?
Dude, it's absolutely ridiculous. So it seems like there was some sort of equipment failure, you know, and the cab caught on fire, from what I could tell from the video, but there were actually, 10 animals, including 5 zebras, 4 camels, and a miniature horse. And these cops are just doing the best they can. If you go watch the video, they essentially, come up around the side of the trailer, and there's, you know, they go up to the side of the trailer and just start letting these animals out. But could you imagine? I mean, it's January in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Like, could you imagine you're driving on the highway and then there's just like a truck on fire and like zebras and like a camel? Like, what?
Dude, I'm just envisioning this and I feel like I pulled into the circus and made a wrong turn somewhere.
Right. That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I can just see the kids that are telling their parents as they're driving by, "Mom, I see a camel over there." And they're like, "Shut up, Jimmy. You're lying." All right, gentlemen, it's time to move on to our next segment, which is Behind the Wheel. All right, gentlemen, it's time for Behind the Wheel. So we asked drivers, have they ever been lied to by a recruiter? 3% said no, 94% said yes, and 3% said unrelated to the topic. So they were probably talking about camels on the side of the road.
I call shenanigans here on this one. and here's why. Being on the driver's side and being on the recruiting side, there's a lot of things that recruiters are fed, whether it's one sheeters, things from operations. There's a lot that goes into play here. And then there's being on the driver's side. You know, they get some of the best parts of each offer and combine them into their dream offer by the time they make it to orientation. So there's a lot that comes into play here that makes it look this way. But after you sit on the other side, you realize real quickly that there's a lot of outside contributing factors.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate on that one. So first off, I mean, can that many drivers be wrong? So that means there's something to it.
Well, perception's reality.
Right. But at the same time, you know, I would say the same thing goes when you're running a business and you're providing a product. My argument would be, and much which a lot of people did elaborate in the comments section, I would say that the biggest problem is, you know, what we've talked about before, that communication between recruiting and operations. So yes, what recruiting is offering might be off from what is actually happening in operations or what is actually happening in the day-to-day that might not be, you know, given to those recruiters. But at the same time, as a recruiter, I would say it's your duty to be proactive, to go actually discover what those things are and keep on top of it. You know, don't just wait for that information to be handed to you. Cause at the same time, you know, is that a lie by omission? What is that? Cause it's not the truth. You're wrong. And it's your job to not be wrong.
I feel like our next cents per mile experiment that we're going to have to find some creative way to torture you with is to put you through a bunch of job pitches and then see what parts of it you retained when you show up, because a lot of that comes into play. I mean, I can't stress it enough, being somebody that sat on the driver's side, when you get hit with just offer after offer after offer, and your average driver in this sitting is filling out 6 applications because we made the barrier to entry so easy to do so, it's not hard to fathom the idea that they're getting the best pieces of each one. And by the time they show up to John Doe Carriers, they've formulated this perfect dream job. Now, I'm not saying that that's always the case. I do know that there's bad recruiting departments out there. Trust me, I walk away from working with them every day. But at the same time, there's a lot of good ones out there, and they still have the same issue. And I'm not trying to discredit the poll here. I think there's a lot of validity to it. I just think that there's more factors that come to play here.
Yeah, and I think that is pretty interesting. I don't think we should dive too much further into it, because that is actually our main topic. So, but I can tell you right now, just based off the little bit that we've talked about, this is going to get extremely, extremely spicy.
Yeah. But I think we should just move on, because we're going to dive into this pretty deep and it's going to get spicy and it's going to get interesting.
All right. But real quick, before we do that, it's time for This Week in Recruiting. All right, so it's time for This Week in Recruiting, where we ask Charles, what's going on this week in recruiting?
Yeah, so this is what we do every day over here at Hot Seat, and one of the benefits of that is we're seeing the common struggles. One of those struggles that has become a common theme this week is expectations. Often we get hung up in, you know, trying to find today's top drivers, trying to place those drivers in today's top lanes. And there's a lot that goes into that. But one of the things that has gotten lost in a lot of conversations is the expectations. The expectations that are being listed out by the drivers to the carrier have taken a forefront, but it's almost gotten lost that the carriers have expectations. They're hiring for a job. And the recruiters are losing that in this. It's almost like a battle of one side to the other, you know, provide great service, but we're still hiring for a job. We have a service to provide as recruiters to the carriers that are hiring as well. And we're so busy trying to put a positive spin on everything and fix that relationship building that we're not listing out expectations. What's the expectations of the job? Those expectations can determine whether that applicant is going to be successful or even want that job. And it's kind of a lost art is listing out, like, what are the expectations, not only just to the job, but of the process of recruiting. It's being left out in conversations. Like, what can they expect from you as a recruiter? What's the next steps? I think it feeds into today's topic.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I guess, so when you say that, just to kind of put that in, like, so the company's expectation of the recruiter versus the driver's expectation of the recruiter. And so do you feel like recruiters are just in a weird spot now to where those expectations have kind of just gone out of the window because of the way that everything has been going with the market?
Well, yeah, these recruiters, they're not living the easiest of life right now, because with everyone being near capacity, it allows carriers to be a little bit more selective at who they're bringing into their organization. So recruiters are working 10 times harder to get the same results or close to the same results. With that comes the grind. And when you get into that grind, you get into that customer service mentality, making your calls, checking the boxes, pitching the offer. I've listened to a lot of calls, and a lot of times they're not listing out the expectations. Like, what can a driver expect from you as the recruiter? What's the process expectations? What's the expectations to move forward? You know, what's that time frame? Like, things that were common in a conversation 2 years ago are less common today, and it's kind of a shocker. And then you talk to some of the carriers and you're just like baffled at the idea that they've gone so customer service pro driver that they forgot that they have a job that they need to hire for. And those expectations matter too, not just for the process, but also the success of retaining that applicant after they've been brought on.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that comes from, you know, at that point, you know, cause it's already just a, you know, like, you think about every lead you get and what actually converts to a hire. You know, especially if you operate with match leads and that kind of stuff, it's the more you touch, the more opportunities you have, which has always been understood. But there's an element of, you know, trying to be more personal and that kind of stuff with it. Whereas now I feel like it's created almost more of a classic sales mentality of just like pitch, 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 pitch. And it's like, that's all you're doing. So it's kind of hard to take that step back. So I get what you're saying, and I do think that's important, but I think it's also important to try and find some sort of solution. So if you're stuck in this mode where you feel like you can't take time, you just have to sit there and pitch, 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 because you are working 10 times harder to get the same results, what do you do to maintain almost like that more customer service sense versus the, you know, the off balance like sales sense you have right now?
Well, it's exactly that. It's a balance. And remembering we're dealing with real people. And the success of the company is also going to determine the overall success of that experience with those real people. So you have to advocate on behalf of the driver, but you also have to advocate on behalf of the person that you work for and that you're recruiting for. It's beneficial to both sides to kind of play devil's advocate on both sides as a recruiter. And by setting proper expectations, one of the best things I've deployed as a recruiter is by, hey, this is what the process looks like. A, B, C, and D are going to happen. If you do these, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then we're going to get here. And then from here, this is the expectation. I want them to know what that whole process looks like. What's their part? What's my part? And have realistic conversations about that. Not just about the expectations of pay and home time. Those things matter. But that's the process.
I think a big part of that is the expectations from the other direction, though, you know, because if you're working 10 times harder to bring in the same amount of people, you know, that's because you have expectations coming down to you from the top. Sure, that's the right way to do it. But how do you address that with the people who sign your paycheck as a recruiter to say, hey, we're trying to get the same quality of drivers, but we're having to work 10 times harder. So we can either do this right and get less drivers, or we're going to have to do this and it's probably not going to work as well in the long run. How do you explain that when you're talking, you know, to the internal side of it, Right.
It goes two ways, and any good recruiting department is having those conversations. They should be having it regularly because you got to keep up recruiter morale, especially in a market like this. But at the same point, recruiters need to be very, you know, open with what they're seeing out there. The people up above, they see and they're data driven, but they're not down there in the trenches making those calls. They're putting out fires and they're making the decisions that move the company in a direction. So if you take the time out to have those conversations and document stuff as a recruiter, you should be documenting. Don't just go in there blindly and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing happen, and then don't have references. Have the data behind you. And I promise you that the good recruiting managers and directors and VPs out there, they're going to be receptive to that a lot better than saying, well, my gut says this. If you see something, share it with them. And they probably already know it. Their job is to keep you motivated and moving forward, and they have to keep the ship moving in a direction. That doesn't mean they're oblivious to what's happening. Sometimes, though, they just need someone to bend their ear, grab that ear a little bit, and share it.
Mesilla Valley Transportation, founded by truck drivers for truck drivers. Why choose MVT? Well, it's simple.
I started off as a driver. Now I'm managing routes. With MVT, the sky's the limit.
Balance is key. State-of-the-art equipment, a strong focus on safety, and a family-driven company culture where respect and hard work are at the core. Mesilla Valley Transportation, where we care about you. Join our family today.
All right, so it's time for today's main topic in our segment, Make Sense, Make Sense. So we kind of touched on it earlier. We're talking about recruiters not being totally honest and what that looks like from the back end, why it matters, what we can do about it. And so Charles, I'll give it back to you. This is going to get
it's going to be controversial, but it's okay, because just like I said earlier, there's good doctors, there's good lawyers, there's also bad ones, and there's bad recruiters. And if you are a bad recruiter and you're full of shit, then stop. Be better. I think it's okay. But you should want to be better. And if you can't be better, then find a different profession. Paper, plastic, find something other than dealing with people, because these are real people with real livelihoods and responsibilities to themselves and families. And you have to treat it with the respect it deserves. And we can go on about this for days, but there's active efforts out there being done to advocate for this, to also audit people and hold them accountable. Back in the day, it was assumed that if a recruiter was talking, they were lying. Nowadays, you got recruiting VPs and presidents of company auditing recruiting efforts because they want to be seen in a positive light. And if that recruiter is the first human element of the recruiting process, you need them to be putting your best foot forward, because that's the company they're representing. And if they're doing it wrong, then the whole company's painted in a bad light. So I think it is a very important topic. And the polls showed that drivers feel like they're lied to. So we as recruiters and recruiting departments need to be making active efforts to curb that, because this is our reputation. This is our profession. If they can't trust us, how are we supposed to hire anyone?
Well, I think it starts with being straightforward, you know, kind of like last week we talked about, you know, those ChatGPT ads and stuff, and proving that, like, what's scraped off the internet, like the job ads are terrible. It's 2024. The vast majority of people won't actually apply for a job unless it has the actual salary listed. You know, people that those days are done. You can't just say our pay is competitive. You know, like, you need to let people know what they're getting into, because it's a major life change. Now, that being said, the interesting thing, and this is, bear with me on this, is yes, you need to take the time. You need to do all those things. But at the same time, most recruiting departments have quotas, or trucking companies have needs that they express to their recruiting department. Hey, I need this many drivers because we have this many trucks open, this, that, and the other. The interesting thing is I know it's crazy to me that they're fighting for the balance. Sometimes almost feels like a Band-Aid when it's the idea that really what you're fighting is turnover. You know, like it's you got these quotas. It's like, sure, you can do better, but like, why don't you make everything better? And then you don't have to have that situation, and you could actually take the time and treat it more like you're hiring an internal employee than you would when you're hiring a driver, because those processes are never the same.
Well, and I think this is going to dive into what we're going to next in the passenger seat with our guests. So I think we should hop over to the passenger seat.
Who we got today?
We got Robert Pearson from Mesilla Valley. How's it going, Robert?
It is going great. I love the subject matter that you invited me on for.
I figured you'd enjoy this one. You know, we have, so we've had you on the show a couple times. You're a huge supporter of the show, and we appreciate you for that. But this is an important topic, and you run recruiting. So tell us your feelings on, you know, bad recruiters and recruiters lying.
Oh, absolutely. And look, when you say 94% say that they've been lied to, that's a big, big number. Now, it helps in my world. I've had family in the industry, so I come into it with some empathy. I wouldn't want my grandfather, as an example, being screwed over in a situation when he gets hired on. I think you're also correct, Charles, though, that this is a bit of a crapshoot when a driver talks from one company to another company to another company. There's extenuating circumstances. You'll have recruiters that answer a question where the correct answer should be, I don't know. You have seasonality and freight environment. So what I say today may be an honest response to what you should expect, but 2 months from now, freight picks up or freight goes down. That driver, though, in their mind, and rightfully so, if the jobs change, feel like they've been lied to. It's not what they got set up to do in the first place. It's why on our end, we want to be as transparent as possible. And I want to have recruiters that have empathy, have honesty, the good and the bad. And part of that recruiting call, even though a recruiting call is a sales call, is being honest about what you can and can't do, being honest about seasonality or other unique parts of the job, and being honest about, hey, I want to talk to you about the good times and I want to talk to you about the bad times. This is not Publisher's Clearinghouse. I'm not coming to your door with a giant poster check. Let's talk about the good week. Let's talk about the bad week. Now, I may lose a couple drivers in that process because I was honest about it, but I want to judge a recruiter's success based off of their 90-day retention rate versus how big of a group they have in orientation at that moment.
So I think that's important because, like Paul was saying earlier, is, you know, for a recruiter, you're in a constant battle. A lot of times there's quotas, not only how many submissions or how many calls, but I think one of the more important metrics that I'm seeing implemented is call times, that relationship building. I'd rather see a recruiter having a conversation, which is lucrative for both sides because it's relationship, than, hey, you did 100 calls. If I see 6-minute conversations, 8-minute conversations, 30-minute conversations, that's promoting a relationship. And that's where those expectations and those conversations take place to promote that.
Yeah. And as an industry, we've gotten into some really bad habits. And this is where I get excited. As you brought up, a lot of carriers are full right now. This is an opportunity. It's a chance to reset. It's a chance to evaluate and go, hey, we get a do-over button right now. So how do we want to come out of this thing? Because we know freight's going to pick up again. People are going to add trucks. We're in the enviable spot of going, we're at even right now. So as we come out and freight picks up and we try to expand, we can control it and we can build relationships. It may not be as sexy from 1 week to the next, but a year later, where you're going to have carriers with now hundreds of trucks open and they're trying to feed the beast, you're going to be able to take much more of an approach of, we're relationship builders here. We are much more a relationship builder than trying to sell somebody a used car. We'll see what carriers take advantage of that because not all will be created equal. You'll see some that 12 months from now are in a very enviable spot that are able to keep low retention rates or turnover rates. And you'll see other carriers that probably are going to do next year what they were doing in 2021 and 2022, unfortunately.
So you run a whole team of recruiters and you guys are large, so you guys have needs. You know, some of those come from just time in business and stuff, but what's some of the tips if you were advising a carrier that might not have that expertise that you can audit your recruiting efforts to prevent this kind of negative PR coming their way from bad recruiting?
Absolutely. It's kind of an old school thing at this point, but you want call recordings. I physically want to hear phone calls and what's being discussed. I want to make sure at the very least, even if my recruiter's honest, are they friendly? Are they hospitable? They are the first face of the company. Do you want your company represented by a good person that legitimately wants this person to have success? Or do you have somebody that's having a transactional relationship where they're like, hey, you're another notch on the bedstand for me? That's a really important question. And if as a owner or as an owner of a company, if you don't know that answer, that's dangerous. You're going down a very slippery slope. On top of that, explain to a recruiter the life cycle of a driver. That recruiter a lot of times has a script in front of them, doesn't always know that much about the business that they're recruiting for, and bad things happen because of that ignorance. Your recruiter should understand your equipment, your operations. They should understand, hey, this is what a driver's basic week looks like. This is what they go through, their challenges on the road. That ignorance is no excuse, but that 94% number that you guys pointed out to it, a big chunk of that is going to be recruiter ignorance.
And that comes from the relationship building aspect of things. Paul, you did recruiting and, you know, I'm in it every day. It's not an easy job. When carriers are at capacity, it's all about quality over quantity. When they're not at capacity, it's about quantity over quality. It's constantly moving goalposts. And as soon as you think you figured it out, the dynamics change. So what was some of the things that you saw that you thought were like, this is counterintuitive of what we're trying to do?
Well, and I mean, I think, you know, it just seems counterintuitive because at that point, you know, it does build. You get in those situations where you're like, oh, we just need to find quality drivers over quantity of drivers. But then you still have that internal turnover that happens on occasion. So you still need to fill those slots because nobody wants to be behind and not have drivers to fill those slots if anybody turns over, because that's just, you know, creature of habit. That's what most companies are used to. So you're still trying to push those numbers. And I think Robert nailed it on the head that, you know, there's a lot of companies that are at a point where they have the chance to actually pivot, but nobody wants to pivot because it's trucking. And, you know, we have this mindset of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I mean, ultimately, I think the other thing too is I think Robert nailed it on the head with the ignorance thing. It's, you know, not only do I think you should know all of the different parts of the job and that kind of thing, I think that most, you should know what the driver's, not just the life cycle of the driver at the company, but what the driver's day looks like, how things actually work in the truck. I mean, hell, if you can actually get the opportunity to go out on a truck for 48 hours, like that, just knowing all of that will completely just change the way you view recruiting in general.
Yeah, I think I'll point out to you, and I think you're correct, Paul. We and that gets in the relationship thing that Charles talks about. If I hired a restaurant manager for McDonald's, fine restaurant, not knocking McDonald's, but if I hired a restaurant manager for McDonald's, we're having an extended conversation. I want to know about that restaurant manager's life, what he's looking for, he or she's looking for in their occupation. It's hard to do that with a driver when you talk for 3 minutes, you go through a quick script, you get a short form app, and bam, they're in orientation. That's a transactional thing. That driver, if they have success at your company, it's pure dumb luck at that point. We have to look at this more like we would any other profession. Of that professional on the road, the person that's bringing a skill set that you can't easily duplicate, and treat them like the skilled professional that they are. We haven't done a very good job as an industry, and we are the purveyors of our own bad luck in many cases. If we take the time to do that, the results can be significantly different. And now's the reset time to do it.
And that's a unique perspective. We're in a time where you can afford to hit the reset button. And I think that, playing devil's advocate on this one for a change, if you aren't in the position to hit the reset button, it's probably a good chance to look in the mirror and find out what you've done wrong. Because most people are at capacity. So if you're not somewhere in that realm, you're doing it wrong.
Or they might be the only people picking up freight right now. but that being said too, and on to that with the relationship, but I think my other point was that it's also hard to sell, and I hate the sales aspect of recruiting, but it's also hard to find out if someone's qualified for a job or if someone's a good fit if you personally don't fully understand how the job you're pushing actually works.
And so we keep circling this, but I think it all comes down to communication and being able to evaluate. And, you know, that's one thing that I took away from Robert's conversation is being honest with yourself, taking these opportunities. You know, hey, Robert, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. But, you know, if someone wanted to reach out to you guys, see what you guys had to offer, where's a good place to reach out?
Absolutely. Go to drive4mvt.com. We definitely look forward to talking to anybody, and it's a very interactive website that gives a lot of detail. But ultimately, we want to talk to you after that visit to drive4mvt.com so we can build the relationship.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and I look forward to seeing you in Mets.
Let's do it. See you in Louisville.
Hot Seat Services has Rent-A-Recruiter?
Wait!
Hey, Michael, have you heard that Hot Seat Services Rent-A-Recruiter service will place their staff in your organization similar to a temporary hire model?
No way, what else does it do?
Follow me, I have to tell everyone. They take leads in existing databases to put new hires into your business's trucks.
Well, shiver me timbers! What else?
Come on! Their model is more cost efficient because their recruiters are trained and can get your pipeline flowing easier and faster.
No way. Anything else?
No matter how many hires they make, it's a set cost per week, so the more they get, the better their client's cost per hire gets.
Holy sh**!
For more information and to find out for yourself, go to hotseatservices.com.
All right, gentlemen, I think it's time to get out of here. So, Charles, send us on our way, shall we?
Thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Grayson.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson. See you next time.